Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening. The MSS crew would like to once again thank you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. The day's date is Saturday, August 22nd, 2015, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, we are back. We had a little bit of a break, but we hope that each and every one of you who attended enjoyed the summer OTR marathon that happened last week. From what I've heard, it was a good program and prizes were given away, and everybody just had a really good time. But now, it's time to get back to the same old, and your favorite OTR show, Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. And we're coming down to the dog days of summer. So why don't we enjoy some of those dog days with a program that will be brought to you tonight by Mr. Bond himself, Ron Bond. Remember, he prefers his martinis shaken and not stirred. Without any further delays, I would just like to ask everyone to sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Ron, the microphone is yours.
Thank you, Luis. Tonight, yours truly, Johnny Dollar. We're going to listen to Johnny Dollar and Jimmy Carter. First, from August 10th, 1958, it's the Two-Faced Matter.
Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Nick Walters, Johnny. Northeastern Fidelity and Bonding.
Oh, hi, Nick. How's with you?
Good and bad, Johnny. Good and bad.
Well, I'm sure it's nothing good you've called me about. What's the problem?
$58,000.
Lost, trade, or stolen? As if I didn't know.
Yeah, probably stolen. Ever hear of the Auld Lang Syne Furniture Company?
I have not. Sounds like a gag.
It's no gag. Some of the finest traditional furniture in the world comes out of that plant.
Really?
It's up in northern Massachusetts in a little town north of Fitchburg, and it's run by a bunch of real characters.
Oh, how do you mean?
Well, I suggest that when you go up there, you wear a dark blue suit, white shirt, and black four-in-hand tie.
Huh?
Oh, and suspenders. Be sure you wear suspenders.
Are you kidding? Why?
Why don't you come over here to the office and let me tell you about it?
Yeah, Nick, I think I'd better.
Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
And now, Act One of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Northeastern Fidelity and Bonding Company Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Two-Faced matter. Expense account item one, after shaving, showering, and donning the most funereal clothes I could find, item one, $1.10, taxi to Nick Weldon's office at Northeastern Fidelity and Bonding.
Just remember what I told you, Johnny. The Auld Lang Syne Furniture Company is run by a bunch of characters.
Yeah, that's what intrigues me. That's why I came over here.
Oh, they're craftsmen, all right. The old school. May take them a couple of years to make an ordinary straight back chair. But when it's done, it's the most beautiful thing you ever saw. And the finish they get on the pieces they turn out. Beautiful.
And expensive, too, huh?
Oh, sure, but worth it. Any piece of furniture they make will last 100, 500 years. Yeah, the real honest craftsmen, the kind you don't see anymore.
Well, apparently somebody wasn't too honest with them. So tell me all, Nick.
Johnny, it seems one of their lads has run off with some of the company money.
Yeah, you mentioned $58,000.
Yep. $58,433 to be exact, and those boys are exact.
Well, what do the police have to say?
Nothing. They were never called in.
Well, why not?
I told you, the place is run by a flock of real characters.
Oh, brother, they must be. When did this happen?
Sometime within the past 3.5 years.
And you've just found out about it now?
That's right.
Well, how come?
I told you, Johnny.
Yeah, that's right. You told me. You're a bunch of characters. But didn't their policy state that any claim had to be filed within 60 days of the loss?
Oh, we waived that form, struck it from the policy.
Why?
Because they don't like to be rushed in anything.
Rushed? After all, 60 days.
And don't forget, they only discovered the loss a bit over a month ago.
They even took a month to let you know about it.
Yeah.
And yet you say it could have occurred as much as 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, I know. But why don't you save the questions for Mr. J. Worthington Keasley?
Who's he?
Yeah, the senior member of the organization, I guess you'd call him. There are no officers, you know, president, vice president, and so on.
You mean a company big enough to suffer a cash loss of $58,000?
Johnny, I told you.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you told me.
Yeah. So, will you go up there and see what's what?
Nick, I'm going up there for just one reason, on expense account, of course.
Oh, no, of course.
And that is to take a good look at these crazy characters you've been telling me about. Item 2, 325 for a bus to Fitchburg, Massachusetts, where at the terminal I picked up a local to North Weldon, home of the Auld Lang Syne Furniture Company. The name was appropriate. Located on the outskirts of the quiet little New England town, it consisted of a huge barn-like building that looked as though it had been standing there since the year one. Surrounded by stately elm trees and a couple of gnarled ancient oaks, it looked, well, very picturesque. A large wrought-iron weathercock raced one end of the high-peaked shingle roof and looked down on broad lawns and well-kept flower beds. The road leading up to it was just an old-fashioned dirt road, and I kicked the dust as I plodded along. Then suddenly I stopped. For there at the side, instead of automobiles, were, believe it or not, horses. Horses and carriages and a bicycle or two or three. It was almost as though a picture of 50 or 60 years ago had suddenly come to life. And then inside, when I found Mr. J. Worthington Keasley, well, he looked like one of the Smith brothers. And sitting in front of a fine but ancient roll-top desk.
Of course we do, Mr. Dollar. Our fathers and their fathers before them all wore full beards. Therefore we do, too. Would you like a bit of snuff, sir?
No, thanks.
Yes, it's one of the traditions, sir. The traditions to which we adhere in order that we may continue to fabricate the superlative furniture for which we've become famous over the past 107 years.
And I take it, Mr. Keasley, that the same thing applies to the horses and carriages out there at the sign?
Yes, they were good enough for our grandparents, so they're good enough for us. I suppose that's why I should have suspected Mr. Twiller.
Mr. Twiller?
Roscoe James Twiller, Mr. Dollar. Here, sir, is a picture of him. In this group photograph taken on the occasion of our 100th anniversary.
I feel like I ought to yell Beaver.
I'm afraid his mighty shock of hair and magnificent beard misled me back in 1941 when I hired him. Yes, and I suppose I should have known when he gave up Boston and Surrey to drive one of those newfangled motor cars.
Should have known what, Mr. Keasley?
That he was no longer a man suited to our fine establishment.
Is he the one who took off with your
$58,000? $58,433.41.
Are you sure? I mean, sure it was he?
Beyond the shadow of a doubt, sir. He was the only one beside myself who had a key to the vault in which we kept our building fund. And when he suddenly left us 3 years, 5 months, and 16 days ago... Yes, I should have known.
But you didn't discover the loss until recently.
It was June 21st, at 10:04, that I went down to the vault. For the first time in 4 years, we had something extra to put aside.
And you discovered the money was missing?
The vault was empty. Except for this note.
Huh? Goodbye, suckers.
Horrid word.
Signed Twiller.
So, you see, Mr. Dollar.
Yes, I do. It looks like he's our man.
No question about it.
And you've no idea where he might have gone?
None whatsoever.
Well, surely there must be some clue.
None whatsoever. But you must find him.
But that was 3.5 years ago.
Exactly 3 years, 5 months, and 16.
Yeah. So where do I start?
Unless your company decides simply to reimburse us for our loss, that, Mr. Dollar, is up to you.
Of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Sometimes we may wonder why a football team doesn't quit playing and walk off the field when finds itself 50 points behind with only a few minutes of play to go. What is that indomitable spirit that fills men with hope and keeps them going in spite of terrific odds? Keeps them going just to play the game according to the rules. Just to get the job done as well as they know how. This kind of spirit pervaded the feelings of heavy bomber crews of the 9th Air Force on that day of glory, August 1st, 1943, the day of one of the most secretly planned surprise bombing missions of World War II. The day of the low-level attack on the Romanian oil refineries at Ploiești. More than 170 B-24 heavily loaded bombers took off in a swirl of red dust from Benghazi, Libya, to bomb a highly defended priority target. The element of surprise in the low-level attack was to be one of their greatest weapons. But things went wrong from the start. Three planes exploded during takeoff operations. 11 more aborted due to engine trouble. Of those that reached the target area, less than one-third returned to home base. The leaders of the mission encountered navigation difficulties and difficulty in identifying specific targets. And due to the loss of that elemental hope, surprise, they also encountered devastating enemy firepower from flak and fighters. The mission was partially successful, but a horrifying experience. Five medals of honor were awarded to the heroes of the Ploiești raid for valorous action above and beyond the call of duty. At any time, the men would have been justified in turning back, but they had a code of conduct that made them want to see the unequal game through to the end. It was a job that had to be done. A charge of the light brigade in the air as they flew down the valley of death to glory.
And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Two-Faced Matter.
Okay, Mr. Keasley, it looks like this man Twiller is the one who walked off with the money in your safe when he left your employ.
No question about it. And unless you can find him, your company will have to pay the full amount of the loss.
Yeah, well, even if I do find him, the chances are he'll have spent that money. After all, 3 years and a half.
Exactly 3 years, 5 months, and...
You say you have no idea whatsoever as to where he might have gone.
With that much money, he could be anywhere in the world.
Uh-huh. Where did he live?
I don't know, sir.
What?
After all, it was none of my affair.
But if he worked for you a number of years...
I make it a rule never to pry into the affairs of others. Except, of course, where the manufacture of fine furniture is concerned.
Well, doesn't anybody in this organization know anything about Twiller?
Possibly Mr. Bottomley.
Who's he?
He is presently engaged in creating a Heppelwhite table in the shop. Come, we shall speak with him.
The huge shop dated back 100 years at least. There wasn't a single power tool, not even a buzzsaw. But some of the tools looked as though they might have been used to build the ark. 8 or 10 men, all of them old, all wearing dark trousers, suspenders, and white aprons, were busy turning out fine pieces of furniture, carefully, almost lovingly. And every one of them wore his own distinctive full beard. Hooray for tradition. Mr. Keasley led the way to a man who was gently trimming the edge of some kind of a sideboard.
Good morning, Mr. Bottomley.
Good morning, Mr. Keasley.
You must pardon this intrusion, Mr. Bottomley.
It must be for good reason, Mr. Keasley. Though you must understand that I cannot afford interruption if I am to finish this credenza by the first of the year coming.
Of course. I wish you to meet Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Good morning, Mr. Dollar.
How are you?
He is an investigator, Mr. Bottomley, come to get us back the money we lost.
Then he must find Mr. Twiller.
Exactly. Good morning, Mr. Thurston.
Good morning, Mr.
Keasley. Mr. Keasley tells me you know where this man Twiller lived.
He was my neighbor. Lived alone next door to me.
Where?
And I assure you, sir, I had no idea of his designs on the company building fund.
Yes, I'm sure, but now if you'll tell...
Each morning, he drove me to work in his carriage... until he purchased that abominable motor car.
Oh?
I refused to ride in it, sir, and bought myself a bicycle.
You did properly, Mr. Bottomley. Good morning, Mr. Woodstone.
Morning, Miss Keesley.
Well, just where is it that Twiller lives, Mr. Bottomley?
In the village of North Weldon. East North Weldon, on Peach Avenue.
Well, then perhaps the authorities there will be able to give me some kind of a lead.
The authorities?
The police, Mr. Keesley.
The police? Good heavens. I hope not, Mr. Dollar.
Surely not the police.
Gentlemen, please. These gentlemen are right, Mr. Dollar. Think of the blot on our good name.
Now, look, your loss amounts to $58,000.
$58,400.
If I don't find this man, my company's going to have to pay off.
I know, but the police...
Now, look, my immediate job is to find this Roscoe James Twiller. And if I need the help of the police to do it... Who's the chief of police in North Weldon? Well?
The mayor, Mr. Dollar.
What's his name?
John Kenworthy Wilkins, Mr. Dollar.
Any of you know him?
We do not mix with the townspeople, Mr. Dollar.
We don't even go into town, Mr. Dollar.
Right.
But I do have a picture of the mayor. Here, sir.
Bottomley, where did you get this?
He's running for re-election, Mr. Keesley. I found this poster in my carriage.
Well, get rid of it, man. This is indecent.
No, wait a minute. Let me see that.
Terrible. Disgusting.
Huh?
Why, it's a disgrace to have such a thing within the walls of this fine old company.
Oh, no. No wonder the old boys were shocked. For His Honor, the mayor of North and East North Weldon, was not only as bald as a billiard ball, but to top it off was clean-shaven. Yeah, a picture like this within the walls of the Auld Lang Syne Furniture Company was real sacrilege. But I still hadn't done my job. I had to find this man Twiller or let the company pay out $58,000. How to find him? I hadn't the least idea.
Act three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Times have changed, and so has the man. During the 18th and 19th centuries, warfare with its musket fire and cavalry charges and cannonades was a simple, direct, easily understood type of conflict. The undisciplined but sharp-eyed revolutionaries hid behind trees and hedgerows to pick off the advancing British troops. The wild, dashing, hell-for-leather cavalry charges of the Civil War and Custer's encounter with Sitting Bull and the Sioux Indians were, though courageous, simple and direct. But they were far removed from the development of the atomic age, which demands selectivity, skill, and rigorous training. Until recently, the soldier's general level of knowledge determined his job suitability. Today, however, with more and more complex weapons and equipment being used, the military needs large numbers of skilled technicians. To that end, tests have been developed to find men with intelligence and technical aptitude, and to develop in these men the needs of the future. Yes, times have changed, and so has the man.
And now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Two-Faced Matter.
I found the mayor of North Weldon sitting comfortably on the shaded porch of his home, fanning himself with an election placard and sipping at what looked suspiciously like a gin and tonic.
Yes, you're certain that I can't fetch you a limeade, too, Mr. Dollar?
No thanks, Mayor Wilkins.
Yes. Well, now, as I started to say, when I first came here, I did hear some rumor about money having been taken from the Auld Lang Syne Furniture Company. But until they lodge a complaint with me, I'm also chief of police.
Yes, well, from what I can see, they're pretty slow about things like that.
Yeah, well, they're slow about everything. But they make magnificent furniture.
Mm-hmm, I can see that. Tell me, did you know this Roscoe Twiller at all?
Gone before I came to North Weldon.
Oh? But that was only 3.5 years ago.
And I came after that.
Yet you're the mayor of the town.
Village, really, Mr. Dollar. But lovely place. I've liked it ever since the first time I saw it. And when the people learned of my police record...
Huh?
I, my record in police work out in Ohio, why, they insisted that I take over my present jobs for them.
I see. And you have no idea where I could get a lead on this Van Twiller?
No. Sorry. Don't the people at the furniture factory have any ideas about him?
None whatsoever.
You're sure?
I'm sure.
Yes. Well, if what you've told me is true about his taking the money, I mean, he is probably far, far away.
Yep. I'm afraid so. Just as far as I am from solving this case. Well, we chatted on for a few minutes, and then I left him in the hope of finding some erstwhile neighbor who might be able to give me some help. I headed across town toward Peach Avenue. And as I was about to pass the bus stop...
Bang! Bang!
Huh?
Bang! Bang! You're dead!
Oh.
And another redskin bit the dust.
Well, hi there, fella. Cowboy, huh?
Sure, I am a cowboy and a policeman and an artist and everything.
Sure.
My name's Jim Carter. What's yours?
Johnny, darling.
Want to see some of my artistical drawings?
Yeah, sure I do, Johnny.
Just look at this cigarette advertisement here on the fence. Uh-huh. With my own crayons, too.
Yeah,
how's that?
Jimmy, that's the most beautiful mustache I ever saw on any girl.
Sure. My teacher says I'm going to grow up and be a great artist.
Oh, sure.
But first I have to get a paint set.
Sure you do.
And see what I've done with this one.
Sure, you... Jimmy.
That's our mayor.
Yeah.
He's running for re-election. That's why he has all these signs all around. Don't you think he looks a lot better with some hair on his old bald head?
And a little child shall lead
him. Now I'm going to put a beard on him. See? Like some of those old men at the furniture factory.
Stay with us, Jimmy. Stay with us.
Ah, they're funny old men. Like this. See?
Uh-huh.
Only they never come in town. He never... There. Doesn't that look like one of them? There.
Jimmy, that's so good, I'm going to say that.
Really?
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
Jimmy?
I sure do.
I didn't know I was that good.
Jimmy, you'll never know how good you are.
Well, you back so soon, Mr. Dollar?
Mayor Wilkins, or rather, Chief Wilkins.
Yeah.
I have to ask you to make an arrest.
You mean you've found the man that you've been looking for?
If there's any question about it, I'll make a civilian arrest.
Oh, I don't understand, sir. Only a few minutes ago...
Only a few minutes ago, I was blind as a bat to the most obvious possibility in the world. You showed up in this town a short time after Roscoe Twiller left.
Yes, that's true.
Roscoe Twiller... with a heavy shock of hair and a thick beard.
Well, if I understand, it's all men out at the old Lang Syne furniture.
You, clean-shaven, completely bald.
Mr. Dollar...
I should have realized by the funny pink tint on the top of your noggin that you've been using some kind of hair remover.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Here. Look at yourself.
Yes. What'd you get that?
Roscoe James Twiller, alias John Kenworthy Wilkins.
Now, Mr. Dollar...
And I'll bet that if I make a search of your house, I'll find the key to that vault in the furniture factory.
No, I threw it away.
Yeah. Do you want to make the arrest yourself, Twiller? Or shall I? I don't know why Twiller gave up so easily. I guess it was because I'd caught him completely off guard. He even signed a confession and promised to pay back what he could. So, from here on in, it's up to the courts. And all thanks to a little kid who liked to draw mustaches on billboards. Expense account total, including the finest paint set I could find for my little pal, Jimmy. Ooh, hey, wait, I gotta pad this. It only comes out to $9.80. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Will White, Herb Vigran, Horace Lewis, Edgar Berrier, Richard Beals, Bill James, and Gus Bays. Be sure to join us, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking.
That was the two-phase matter from August 10th, 1958. Now for March 23rd, 1959, it's the Jimmy Carter matter.
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Mr. Dollar.
Hi, yourself. Who's that?
You know, Jimmy.
Jimmy?
Sure, up here in East North Weldon.
East North what?
And I saved up the money for this long-distance call for my newspapers. Use my own money, because it's very, very important.
Oh, well, I'm sure it is. But now you haven't told me, Jimmy, who... Artist?
I helped you solve that case about the crook you were looking for up here. Remember?
Oh, sure. In East North Weldon, Massachusetts.
Yes, sir.
Well, what are you calling about, Jimmy?
I can help you solve another case, Mr. Dollar.
Can you? What kind?
Well, it's murder, Mr. Dollar.
What?
Yes, sir. Murder.
Bailey, in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
The station to which you're listening right now is an affiliate of the CBS Radio Network. That fact makes several important differences in the kind of radio service you receive whenever your dial is set here. Take the matter of news. Over this station, you hear frequent reports gathered by the foremost broadcast news organization, CBS News. Reports supplemented by the prospective commentary of such distinguished newsmen as Edward R. Murrow, Lowell Thomas, and Eric Severide. In addition, of course, this station provides you with late local news so that you may keep up with what's happening in your community. You hear top dramatic programs, comedy, variety, and music to fit your every mood. In addition, this station provides you with further listening entertainment, courtesy of your favorite local broadcast personalities, plus the cream of today's crop of top songs. Well-balanced, highly listenable broadcast fare can come to you only through teamwork, the kind of teamwork made possible by the combined resources of CBS Radio and this station. And now, Act One of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Amalgamated Life Association Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Jimmy Carter matter. It was only last fall that I'd gone to the sleepy little town of East North Weldon up in Massachusetts to run down a heavily bearded man who'd stolen some money a while back from a furniture plant. It was little Jimmy Carter who'd really solved the case for me by drawing some hair and a beard on a poster. A poster of the bald-headed, clean-shaven mayor had shown him up as he looked before as the criminal. Sure, I remember Jimmy Carter.
Well, yes, sir. That's why I'm spending my own money to make this long-distance telephone call from the telephone booth here in the drugstore. Because if you come right up here right away, I can help you solve a murder.
Who's Jimmy?
But if that murderer ever finds out that I know who he is, well, that's why I think you better come up here right away.
Yeah, well, Jimmy...
See, everybody around here, and even his own insurance company, too, they all thought he just had an accident. His name was Mr. Andrew Parkinson.
Parkinson, I see.
I'm talking kind of fast because I used up all my money in this telephone, but Mr. Dollar, I saw this other man throw him off that bridge.
Did he know you saw him?
Oh, I don't see how he could help it, but he didn't do anything about it, so, well, maybe he didn't see me after all.
All right, what's the name of this other man, the killer?
Well, his name is...
I'm sorry, sir, but your 3 minutes are up.
What? Oh, gee, this is all the money I have.
I'm sorry.
Operator.
Okay, I'll hang up then.
The name, Jimmy.
Goodbye, Mr. Dollar.
The name of the killer.
Goodbye, sir.
No, reverse the charges. Jimmy. Operator. Operator.
Expense account item one, 10 cents. Phone call to the auto club for some route information. Item two, another dime for a call to Pat McCracken at Universal Adjustment Bureau.
It was pretty early in the morning, but fortunately he was in his office.
Yes, Johnny?
Hey, Pat, listen. Yeah. I'm driving up to Massachusetts fast as I can.
Well, good for you.
Listen, will you? What? Andrew Parkinson. Get that?
Yeah, Andrew Parkinson. What about him?
Well, he died a few... Well, that is...
He what?
He died, and, yeah. Well, it was supposed to be an accident, but I... Well, anyhow, he's dead.
Johnny, easy. What's this all about?
I want to know who his insurance company is. You're a clearinghouse for that sort of information.
That's right.
Well, will you see if they have a representative or an office up in East North Weldon, Mass?
East North Weldon?
That's right. It's just east of North Weldon.
Oh, no.
You know, up north of Fitchburg.
Oh, that place I have heard of.
Well, somebody in that company called it accidental. But listen, I have reason to think it wasn't.
What?
So if I can contact whoever it is up there... And listen, Pat, there may be a kid's life at stake.
Johnny, this is about as confusing as anything.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Just get me the name of the company that insured the life of Andrew Parkinson.
Well, whatever you say.
Good.
But it may take a couple of hours.
Okay, just get it for me. I'll call you when I get up there. Item three, $4 even for a tank full of gas. By the time I got to Fitchburg, it was a little afternoon, thanks to a slight argument with a highway policeman along the way. I made another phone call, item four, 55 cents.
Pat McCracken.
Did you find out that insurance company for me?
Johnny?
That's right.
Yes. It's one of the smaller outfits, Johnny. Does a lot of rural business. Amalgamated Life Association.
Okay, thanks.
Policy on Andrew Parkinson was issued by their local representative, Mr. Waldo Bottomley.
They're in East North Weldon?
That's right.
Good.
And the company's report on Parkinson says that his death was accidental.
It's already been reported?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when did he die, Pat?
Day before yesterday.
And a claim's been filed?
Yes. $10,000 with a double indemnity clause.
Wait a minute. Who's the beneficiary?
Lucius R. Weatherby. Same town.
Okay, thanks a lot.
No, wait a minute, Johnny. Tell me what all
Wait, this... nothing. I tell you, a kid's life may be in danger.
What does a kid have to do
Sorry,
with this?
Pat, I gotta hit the road. It was after 2 p.m. when I finally pulled up in front of the combination drugstore and mercantile at the one business corner in the village of East North Weldon. One of the local citizenry, looking slightly under the weather, sat on the rickety porch of the store, hacking away at a stick of wood with an old pocket knife.
Hi, Dave.
Hiya.
You happen to have a little drink about you, sir?
No, but listen, where's the little boy who usually sells newspapers around here?
Eh?
His name is Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, that's right, sir. Jimmy Carter.
Well, have you seen him? Do you know where he is?
Seen him this morning.
But he's not around here now.
Nope.
Do you know where I can find him?
Nope.
Do you know where he lives, where his home is?
Yeah.
Well, where?
Up the street.
Oh, sure. What street?
Spruce. North Spruce.
And the number?
18.
Okay, thanks. Listen, my name is Johnny Dollar. If you see him, please tell him I'm looking for him.
Johnny Dollar, eh?
Yeah.
You got the price of a drink on you?
Some other time. Just be sure and tell him.
Yeah.
Carter?
That's right.
My name is Johnny Dollar.
Mr. Dollar, where is he? What have you done with him?
What?
Jimmy, my son Jimmy. He said he had to talk to you.
Oh, well, he did. That is, he called me on the phone.
He's been sitting around the house like he was sick or something all day yesterday. And he tossed and turned all night in his sleep.
Mrs. Carter.
Then this morning he jumped up from his breakfast. Only he wasn't eating any of it. And he said he had to see you. He had to talk to you. He said he'd be right back.
All right, now
but
listen.
That was early this morning. So when he didn't come back, I went to the school, but he wasn't there. So I went down to the corner where he picks up his papers every noon from the bus. But he hadn't been there.
You're sure?
The papers, the bundle of papers, they were all still there.
Now, listen, Mrs.
And he
Carter.
Hasn't come back here. Something's happened to him, Mr. Dollar. Something's happened to Jimmy.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Coming up to 10 gallons, Mr. Johns. There.
The check or oil filter and air filter might pay you $1,000.
How's that?
Well, haven't you heard about Pram's big silver treasure hunt?
Oh, yes. Heard something about it over my car radio this morning. What's it all about?
Well, a regular filter check is so important that Pram Corporation is paying $60,000 to get car owners to check their filters now.
$60,000 in cash?
Yeah, this is Pram's silver anniversary. Last year, 10,000 secretly numbered Pram filters were distributed all over the United States and installed in cars during regular servicing. You may have one in your car and not even know it. A Pram filter cartridge worth 1,000 silver dollars. And if you do, I get $1,000 too.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's check those filters now.
Hurry, folks. You could win up to $1,000 in cash. Join the big Pram treasure hunt. Check your car filters now. And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Jimmy Carter Matter.
Jimmy Carter, the cute little kid who'd help me solve an embezzlement case up in the small New England town with the unlikely name of East North Weldon, who'd call me on the phone to report a murder. But when I got there, Jimmy was gone, disappeared.
Jimmy said he was going to talk to you, Mr. Dollar. But that was early this morning, and he hasn't come back. What did you do with him, Mr. Dollar? Where is he?
Well, I haven't seen him, Mrs. Carter.
But he said...
Well,
that
he telephoned to me down in Hartford, asked me to come up here and see him because he... Well, he asked me to come up and see him.
He idolized you, Mr. Dollar, ever since you were up here last fall. And when he said he had to talk to you, I thought you were already in town again. But I wonder what he was so anxious to see you about.
Oh, well...
And he's been acting very strangely the last day or two. Ever since poor old Mr. Parkinson fell off the bridge and was killed the other night.
How well did he know this man, Parkinson?
Oh, as well as he knew everybody in town, Mr... You don't think his disappearance this way could have anything to do with Mr. Parkinson being killed?
Oh, well, what? How? How could it?
I'm sure I don't know.
Doesn't everybody say Mr. Parkinson's death was an accident?
Yes. Yes, they do, still.
Oh, now stop worrying, Mrs. Carter. Jimmy will show up. If he doesn't, I'll find him for you.
Oh, dear.
Sure. Jimmy's okay. He'd better be. Jimmy had said he was calling me from a booth at the drugstore. As I drove back to it, I noticed the name of the proprietor on the sign over the fly-specked window. Waldo Bottomley. The man who Pat had said was local representative for the insurance company.
There you are, Mrs. Atterbury. You're just going to take one of these every 2 hours. By tomorrow, he'll be all right again. Yes, sir?
Mr. Bottomley?
Yes, sir.
My name is Johnny Dollar. I'm an insurance investigator.
I've heard of you, sir.
All right, good. Now, look.
But if you're here in connection with the death of Mr. Parkinson...
Yeah?
Well, in addition to representing Amalgamated Life Association... Oh, and the claim on Mr. Parkinson's insurance has already been sent down to Hartford.
I know that.
Well, I'm also the coroner hereabouts.
Then it was you who pronounced his death as accidental?
Yep. After Dr. Herbert examined the body for me.
All right, now listen to me.
Mr. Parkinson was an old man, Mr. Dollar. Had trouble with his feet. Eyesight wasn't so good either.
Mr. Bottomley...
So when he tripped against that old railing on the bridge the other night, and the railing gave way and he fell to the rocks below...
Did anybody you know of actually see him trip and fall?
Well, no, sir.
Well, I think that Parkinson was murdered. And if I can find little Jimmy Carter...
Jimmy?
Have you seen him today? Do you know where he is?
Well, now that you mention him, Mr. Dollar, he should be back from school by now and selling his papers.
I asked you, have you seen him at all today?
Early this morning he was in.
Yeah?
I changed a lot of pennies for him into nickels and dimes and quarters.
All right, and then? And
then he left.
Hey, haven't you got a... Isn't there a phone booth here in the store?
Booth is out the door, Mr. Dollar, around the side of the building.
Then you wouldn't have seen him if Jimmy went out there to make a phone call.
Only one might have seen him is old Lucius Weatherby.
Lucius Weatherby?
The town drunk.
Wait a minute. You talking about that old character sitting out front?
Oh, I've asked him not to sit there in his condition. But now that he's... Well, you see, Lucius is the beneficiary...
Yeah, wait a minute. Lucius Weatherby is the beneficiary of Parkinson's insurance.
Yep, as I was about to say.
No wonder he wouldn't tell me anything about Jimmy.
What's that, sir?
So he killed Parkinson to collect the insurance. Jimmy saw him.
And what was that?
Bottomley, I have a few questions I'd like to ask that Lucius Weatherby.
Now, wait, sir.
Yeah?
If you expect old Lucius to remember anything...
You bet I do. Plenty.
Then you'd best take along this bottle of medicinal brandy.
What?
Yes, sir. That'll be $3.75.
Well, break it over his head.
But you don't understand.
No?
He can't remember a thing unless he had a little... Mr. Dollar!
All right, Weatherby.
Howdy. You change your mind about buying me a little?
Where's Jimmy Carter? What did you do with him?
If you don't mind letting go of my collar, sir.
Come on, start talking.
Jimmy.
That's right. Where is he?
Well, sir, I seen him this morning.
You told me that before. Now, what did you do with him?
Why, nothing, sir. I swear.
He came out of the store this morning, went into that phone booth.
Yeah, he did do that.
Yeah, and then what? What did you do?
Now, sir, if I had a little drink, I could remember better.
Come on, you old son, answer me.
Well, he went off in that car.
Car? What car?
Well, he didn't want to, but...
Who?
Well,
who made him go off in a car?
Well, if I could just remember, it was a man.
Come on, who?
Somebody I know.
Yeah?
I'm sure I could remember if I had a little drink.
Now, you listen to me, you lying...
He's telling you the truth, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, sure he is.
Yes, sir.
But if you give him a bit of this medicinal brandy to refresh his memory, truly...
Okay, let me have it.
That'll be $3.75, if you please.
Okay, here.
I'll get you the change.
Don't bother, because if this doesn't bring the truth out of him, so help me, I'll...
Act three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi, drink light, refreshing Pepsi, stay young and fair and debonair, be sociable, have a Pepsi.
When friends drop in, let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
And now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
The town drunk, who could only remember things with a drink under his belt. If you ask me, that's a lot of hooey. Nonetheless, item five, $3.75 for the bottle of what the local druggists call medicinal brandy. Old Lucius Weatherby started lapping it up.
Mighty fine, sir. Mighty fine.
All right, now listen. You listen to me.
I'd better let him have a little more, Mr. Dollar, if he's to remember properly.
Yeah, a little more.
Oh, and here's your change from the...
Lucius, you say that when Jimmy walked out of the phone booth, he drove away with somebody.
Yeah.
Against his will.
Yeah.
Your change, Mr. Dollar.
Forced little Jimmy right in his car.
Who forced him?
Well, now, let me see. His name was...
Yeah.
Oh, you know him, Bartleby.
Think, Lucius. Think hard.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now listen, you old son. I want to...
Harvey.
Huh?
It was Harvey.
Harvey who?
Bartleby, you know everybody.
Harvey Wilman?
Harvey Wilman, yeah.
Who is he?
Well, he's not one of our more respected people, Mr. Dollar.
Respected?
Yeah.
And come to think of it, I believe he was a distant relative of Mr. Parkinson.
Yeah. What does he do? Where does he live?
He does nothing, really. He was always trying to beg money from Mr. Parkinson. Never got it, though.
Anybody else?
I ask you, where can I find him? Where does he live?
Witherwind.
That's right. On the old farm out on Winter Avenue. You can tell it by all the new machinery out front.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Oh, your change, Mr. Dollar.
On the way out to Harvey Woman's farm, I suddenly realized that for once in my life, I'd forgotten to bring along a gun. Judging by all the equipment out front, Woman must have gone through the Alice Chalmers catalog and taken one of everything. But the farmhouse was nothing but a one-story clapboard shack. Half hidden at the back of it was a beat-up old sedan. Come on, open up.
Jimmy!
All right, Wilman, open up this door. I'll break it down. Wilman! Okay, brother, you asked for it. Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy, are you okay? Where's Harvey?
Behind you. Back at the door.
Don't move, Dollar.
I was afraid the kid got that phone call through to you. Too bad for you, he did.
All right, look, woman.
No, don't, Mr. Dollar. He'll shoot you. I know he will. He was going to kill me. He still is.
The kid's right, Dollar. Up against the wall. Face the wall. Put your hands up high against it. Go ahead.
I'm not carrying a gun, woman, if that's what you're worried about.
Now, that's something I'm going to find out for myself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That could be a mistake.
Woman!
I got the gun!
Jiu-jitsu, huh?
Not this one! Oh, well. Hey, come on now, Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, it's okay now. Everything's okay.
He was gonna kill me. He was gonna kill you.
Oh, look, you and I kind of stopped him in his tracks, didn't we? Hey, you know something, Jimmy? Now you're a real hero. Because this time you trapped a killer for me.
Gee.
Item 6, 4850 for a new sports jacket without holes in it. Yeah, Harvey Woolman had managed to get off that one shot. Item 7, $61 even, a brand new bike for Jimmy. Why? Because he saved the company from having to pay double indemnity. Expense account total, including mileage on my car, $117. Unless you'd like to tack on a little extra fee. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment. If your 1957 income was more than $5,000, last year, when you filed your federal income tax report, you had to use Form 1040, the long form. Those who earned $5,000 or less were permitted to use the short form, Form 1040A, if they chose. This year, the Internal Revenue Service is offering taxpayers a new Form 1040A, a simplified form with only 15 lines to fill out. The most important difference about this new form is that those whose 1958 incomes were $10,000 or less, and if you take only standard deductions, you're now permitted to file your return on the new short form 1040A. If you earned over $10,000 during 1958, or intend to itemize your deductions or other income variations, the long form 1040 must be used. The Revenue Service again reminds you to be sure to attach all W-2 withholding tax certificates pertaining to your earnings to the form you intend to file. Send your return to the District Director of Internal Revenue at the appropriate district office. Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, San Francisco, a wonderful town. Yeah, for a murder. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Dick Beals, Larry Dobkin, Forrest Lewis, Edgar Barrier, and Jack Crucian. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Coverley speaking.
A father goes to extremes to protect a demented son as suspense follows next on the CBS Radio Network.
WAUTO-W, Albany, New York.
Everything is going at Henry S. Mantell's in Latham. Everything must be gone by Tuesday night. Going, going, everything must go.
Yes, the values are going at Henry S. Mantell's of Latham. Mantell's is closing its Latham store forever. Everything is being sold at cost or less. Save up to 87% on these famous names: Simmons, Haywood Wakefield, Grainer, Lane, and many others. Here are just two of the fantastic values at Mantell's. A three-piece Grainer curved sectional living room suite, regularly $279.95, now $148.77. Inner spring mattresses, all sizes, regularly $29.95, now $17.95. Come out to Mantell's and make an offer. No reasonable offer refused.
Remember, Mantell's of Latham closes its doors forever at 10 p.m. Tuesday, March 31st. Convenient terms and free delivery within a 100-mile radius at Mantell's of Latham, south of the Latham Shopping Center, open until 10 p.m. 5:30.
From March 29th, 1959, that was the Jimmy Carter matter from yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed it. I hope you did. And I'll be back soon to do some more on Saturday night. Until then, Luis, it's your turn.
Okay, Ron. Great work. I will take it from here. Okay, folks, as usual, it is that time again when we have to wrap things up and shut things down for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, we will be back again next week. Same time, same place. You know how, and you know where to find us. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them via email to MikaMeli@earthlink.net. That's MikaEamelii@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, great weekend, and of course, goodbye.